Welcome back to Real Talk Torah, courtesy of the database with Rabbi Yoshua Eisenberg. I'm Rabbi Yoshua Eisenberg, and you've just entered the database. And for today's issue, we are going to be talking about a somewhat, or at least seemingly, controversial comment of the Rashbam regarding the mitzvah of tefillin, which appears in our parsha. And joining us for this conversation will be my brother, Rav Daniel Eisenberg. Thanks for joining us again. It's always great to have conversations on Parsha, whether in Parsha panel or here, and it's always great to have you. It's a great contribution to the podcast. So thanks for being mechazek us. And if anyone else wants to be mechazek us, you can do exactly what Yonah and Chani Laster did, or what Yaakov and Yaffa Landau did, and that is to offer a sponsorship of any kind. They offered sponsorships for multiple podcasts, and all you would have to do is reach out to me at thedatabase@gmail.com. And that's thedatabase, BEIS@gmail.com, and you can make your sponsorship offer today.
That was a great segue,
Thank
and
you.
I think someone should sponsor just for that tremendous segue.
I appreciate that. That was on the spot, by the way. Okay, so anyway, I specifically wanted to have you for this conversation because you, at a certain point, had spent a lot of time on the Rashbam's commentary on Chumash when you're being Maver Sedra. So I've mentioned in previous podcasts with you that your tendency, which is a great tendency, is to be Maver Sedra and always add a commentator into your repertoire, and you take very avid notes. And the Rashbam was pretty famous for his, I don't know if again, you can call it controversial or not. I think we're gonna defend him tonight, but his tendency to suggest things that are not found in Chazal, and sometimes things that are against what are found in Chazal.
I don't even like calling it controversial. He's super.
From.
He's like, if you know what he's trying to do, then it's very clear that he is not the least bit controversial,
And so, he was
as opposed to
Rashi's grandson.
the other Mefarash that I think we're going to analyze tonight, who I think is very controversial in the contemporary from circles, if you can call it that. But because I'll let you.
Yeah, sure. So
Well, take us there, Rabbi Yeshua.
yeah, so we'll get into
Rabbi
all of
Yeshua,
that.
lead us to the promised land.
That's Ras Hashem. But anyway, so going back to Rashbam and his general methodology, and I think it is something that can be mistaken almost as a license by contemporary scholars of Bible or Chumash or however you want to put it. The Rashbam, we know, or we refer to him as a Pashtun, someone who offers Pashup Pshat. And there are perhaps a lot of versions of what Pashup Pshat means, and sometimes people will take liberties to suggest whatever whatever literary read they want to take, and they'll come up with a of loads of different interpretations and how to understand either biblical figures, which are obviously not just characters. These were real life people who were also really holy people. But the point is that the Rashbam is one of the first major Rishonim to take a stab at, I'm going to give you Pashup Pshat, and I'll say something even if it's not what the Chazal say. And one of the biggest examples that where we find this is in our Parsha when the Rashbam talks about the mitzvah of tefillin. Right, so that appears in Perek Yud Gimel. The first time it appears at is in Pasuk Tes. It's Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tes, 13:9, where the Pasuk says, V'haya lecha le'os al yadcha u'lezikaron b'einecha, and it should be to you for a sign on your hand and a remembrance between your eyes, l'man tiyeh Torah Hashem b'ficha, so that the Torah of Hashem will be in your mouth, ki b'yad chazaka, because with a strong hand, hotziacha Hashem Yimitzrayim, Hashem brought you forth from Mitzrayim. So what exactly should be for you for a sign on your hand and a remembrance between your eyes? So it seems like from the previous psukim, we're talking about the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, at least basic baseline pshat, that's what we're talking about. And that's the basic pasuk, and we know from tradition. We know this from life. We know this from the Psukim in Kriyat Shema, that this is talking about the mitzvah of tefillin, the black boxes and straps that we wear, that Jewish men at least wear on their heads and arms.
You can look at the Heilige Zayde.
Okay, so very good. So whatever we're about to say about what Rashbam says in his comments here, so Rashbam's Heilige Zayde was Rashi, who was known for his Mesorah, or at least there are two known Mesorahs, from the Rishonim at least, of Tefillin. There's the Rashi Mesorah, there's the Rabbeinu Tam. Is that not what you had in mind?
No, I'm saying just look at Rashi's comments over here.
you're going more basic.
Rotzolomar means to say, that you should write down these parshios and tie them to your head and to your arm.
Okay, great. And so,
and then of course we have the famous Rashi Tefillin, and
okay, so you're going even more basic. You know, you're learning Chumash. You learn with Chumash with the Rebbe. All of our Rebbe on Chumash is Rashi. Okay, so thanks for walking us through Rashi. Okay, so then we get to the Rashbam, because that's where it's at tonight. And the Rashbam's Lashon is as follows. So la'osayotcha lefi omek pshuto. And so if I read this in a way that you think I should be reading it differently, so just chime in. Lefi omek pshuto, according to the depth of pshat, yiyeh lecha lezikaron tamid, it should be for you a constant commemoration or remembering. Ki'ilu kasuv aya, what?
A memorial.
Okay, constant memorial, constant reminder. I think reminder is the best word probably, for this context at least. The best reminder should be for you constantly. Ki'ilu kasuv ayadcha, as if it is written on your hand. Ke'ein, Sheyemini kechosam alibecha. Oh, sorry. It's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which is describing obviously Shir Hashirim is about the relationship, the romantic relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there it's talking about literally placing somebody as a signet or a seal on your heart, which is obviously not talking about something literal. We're not talking about surgically, putting something onto the heart. We're talking about...
That sounds incredibly dangerous.
yes.
So clearly this is metaphorical. It's not really placing anybody as a seal on a heart. Must be it's metaphorical. And similarly over here, tefillin, it's not right tefillin in... them in, write the parshios, put them in little scrolls, put them in leather black boxes and tie them to your arm.
Yeah, we can't even read it there. How are we going to remember it there? How are we going to remember what's written on it? Mm-hmm. So that seems to be the Rashbam's take over here. And I don't know how many times we're gonna use or specifically not use the word controversial, but if we can take the same line of reasoning, so you look at Via Hafta, where we the probably the most famous place that we mention the tefillin. So we say that first of all we love Hashem b'chol lavcha b'chol nafshcha b'chol yodecha. Then the pasuk says v'hayu hadvarim ha'ela. The words that I'm telling you today should be olive avech. They should be on your heart. Now, there clearly we're not talking about, again, the same thing. We're not talking about surgically putting the words onto your heart. We're not tattooing the words onto your heart. Usher have tattoos and dangerous to put it on your heart. But it says, Vishinatum levanecha, you should speak it to your children. So you're going to constantly talk about them. When you go to sleep, when you get up, and then we say that you should bind them to yourselves. You should be between your eyes. And we could possibly understand that in a certain sense, the real goal is that we want them olive avecha, and there are different ways of getting them there. But olive avecha obviously is about a mentality. It's about an emotional conviction, perhaps. It's about a certain level of devotion. And the Rashbam seems to be saying here that the Pashup Shat of Tefillin, or at least the Pashup Shat, maybe not Pashup Shat of Tefillin, Pashup Shat of this Pasuk, that they should be for you as a sign on your hand, and remembrance between, or a reminder between your eyes, is as if to say that you should constantly have these ideas on your mind. And you should constantly remember them, don't ever forget them.
So then that would sound controversial, because Rashbam is telling me that according to the Pashat Pshat HaPasuk, I'm not supposed to, I don't have to put on tefillin, I just have to be constantly mindful of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which I could just do by, you know, saying Kriya Shema, third paragraph of Kriya Shema in the morning and at night, or just after davening, when I say the Sheish Tefillah, so the Mantis Kriya Shema, so I could do that and basically accomplish the same thing without wearing tefillin, which does sound controversial.
And by the way, I'll just throw in right now, before we go any further, that just so you know, right now when Rashbam is giving his understanding of Pashat Pshat, we're going to right now, I think it's important, and it could be this is obvious, but I think it's important to go through this anyway, we're differentiate between literal meaning and Pashat Pshat. See, because what Rashbam is suggesting now is not literal meaning, but he's understanding that this is Pashat Pshat. Right? Literal meaning would be that you're putting something on your hand, you're putting something between your eyes. And Rashbam is telling you right now that Pashat Pshat certainly doesn't have to be literal meaning. It could be a metaphor. But that's, just to point that out.
Yes. The Pashat Pshat of the Pasuk in Shir Shirim, that's why it's such a good Pasuk to quote, is that, like, nobody means that. When someone says, you're in my heart, so either some, like, creepy zombie movie or a surgeon, or it's someone speaking metaphorically. Now, what I actually meant, before anybody tries to take my words and like see deeper implications, the simplest version of what I'm saying, I'm saying you're in my heart, the simplest understanding of what I mean is as metaphor.
Or you're on my mind, or whatever. Yeah. So, and it's just important to mention that because, you know, they have the concept of Dibra Torah Kiloshim B'nei Adam, that the Torah speaks in the language of people. And you might think of metaphor as a drash on Pashat Pshat words in English, right? So the metaphor would be the drash of what you're saying. So just so we don't mix that up, in Chumash can say something that's a metaphor. Chumash can say something that has literal practical ramifications. And we've understood from at least Rashi and, you know, our entire Masorah that this is a pasuk talking about a mitzvah of something physical that you put on your body. And Rashbam is saying that the Pashat Pshat is in fact a metaphor.
Okay, so are we going to head over to the Ibn Ezra? Is that...
Okay, so, you know, Lamar...
Or did you not want to go there? Did you not want to go somewhere else?
So why don't you take us through the Ibn Ezra since you brought it up?
Okay, so I think what's so interesting about the Ibn Ezra here and Rashbam here is that someone could read them and completely misunderstand their whole approach to Chazal and to understanding the Torah. But from taking a look at this, at the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra here, so they have two things in common in general, Rashbam and Ibn Ezra, at least two. Right.
Okay.
So,
go ahead.
You want to share one of them?
Well, at least to my knowledge, the two things they have in common is both of them are not afraid to suggest what they believe to be Pashat Pshat, even if it's against the interpretation that we are familiar with from our Masorah.
Right. Yeah. So both of them are of, you know, Pashtanim of the of.
When you think Pashtanim, you think
high caliber Pashtanim.
Right. Maybe maybe fewer people know, you know, of the Bukhar Shor or you know, other Rishonim, but you, if you think Pashtunim, you think Rashbam Ibn Ezra.
Yeah, if you want to go
pure Pashtunim,
and especially in the non halachic psukim, and if you want to open up a Mikros Gedolos and get the most pshat based explanation of a phrase or a narrative, then the two places would go to Rashbam and Ibn Ezra, because their pshat based explanation is very rarely bound by any by Chazal's midrashic interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very so for the most part when it comes to narratives, it's very pure. A pshat interpretation,
right?
As opposed to, you know, others that are also mostly Pashtunim, but they'll incorporate a lot of Chazal, try to leave Chazal in and beautifully, like Ramban and Svarno. They do have pshat, but it's not as pure because Rosh Baum and even Ezra don't seem so compelled to stick to the interpretation of Chazal. And we'll explain why that is. But taking a look at this Ibn Ezra, I think that people might actually completely misunderstand what Ibn Ezra tries to do and what Rosh Baum tries to do by just reading their comments here alone. But do you want to know?
Go ahead. Take us to the Ibn Ezra. I wasn't even planning.
Another thing they have in common
please.
Is their fathers have the same name.
Oh.
Rav Avraham ben Meir Ibn Ezra and Rav Shmuel ben Rav Meir.
Okay, you know, offhand, I don't think I would have been able to make that connection.
Ibn Ezra actually, he's not, even though he's called by the Mefarshim of Avraham ben Ezra, but he's, I think that was probably his grandfather's name, but is definitely the last name. And you have people with the last name, you know, Ben Svi, whatever it is. So that's what he's called. And the Arabic verse would be Ibn Ezra, but it's Avraham ben Meir Ezra.
Okay, excellent. Okay. So, so I was just glancing over at the Ibn Ezra, but since you pointed it out, so B'chavad, go ahead.
Yeah, so you see the words he opens it up with, like,
please.
Yeah. He says, there are those who argue with our holy forefathers. Sha'amar ki la'os v'zikaron, right? Al derech ki liv'yashrin heim l'roshecha v'anagim l'gagro sefa.
That's a pasuk in Mishlei.
Yeah. And basically, if I swear a little bit, he explains that, as we said, that they're going against Chazal's interpretation, right? What does it mean that it should be fluent in your mouth? And then he says, This is not the correct approach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He says, no, the Torah is not written in a mashal. He doesn't like that. I mean, I can't understand it fully, but he doesn't like to interpret this metaphorically. And he says, we're not going to leave Pashup Shah. And then he says, and then he proceeds to,
Okay, so you see what he just did there? So going back to the exact differentiation that I made, that Rashbam was telling you clearly that Pashup Shah could be metaphor, he's saying, no, Pashup Shah is not metaphor. He's saying that we never go Midei Pshuto, and that means he's saying don't take it out of literal meaning.
Right. And then he says at the end of this comment, Midivri Kabbalah Chazakim Ve'in Srichim Kizuk. He says that the words of the Kabbalah and the Masorah are so strong, and it doesn't need chizuk. So what happens is that if you walk out of this discussion.
You think Ibn Ezra is the most firm person. You would think the Ibn Ezra is so firm after this.
Yeah, no, the Ibn Ezra is
by the way, listeners, that's a joke in the sense that I believe the Ibn Ezra was a very firm person anyway.
He sounds so Masorah based. And says, our holy forefathers, some people want to disagree with them and interpret it metaphorically. It can't be. That's incorrect. And you see, and you're wondering, like, Rashbam, maybe Rashbam is in the Chas V'Shalom not so thrilled. He's saying not to put on tefillin. And so you completely misunderstand.
And not just that, not just that, you would never expect what you find throughout the rest of Ibn Ezra's commentary.
Right. Which, of course, you know, he's from. Obviously, I mean, he's a tremendous mind, a tremendous Tana Chacham, and from this, the few stories that we know, a tremendous Chassid Tzaddik. But what the many Pshatim of many, many, many comments of Ibn Ezra would be considered very controversial in many circles today. Not to say they're wrong, not to say they're right. But that, at the very least, controversial.
I like to point to his comments. I think that you showed me a bunch of years ago, but his comment in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov and Esav meet up for the first time in all those years at their grand showdown. Right, so we have the drush on the dots on the word Vayishakehu, and he kissed him. I'm just looking for the pasuk right now. Okay, it's in Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Dalid. Pasuk says, "Vayaratz Esav lekrasa, vayichabkeo." Esav runs to him, and he embraces him. Vayipol al tzavarav, he falls on his neck. Vayishakehu, and he kisses him. He kisses him. Vayivku, and they cry. So we know what Rashi tells us. Rashi tells us that had a darshan, the dots on the word veishakehu veish chogim medavar hu bevarisa. So he quotes to the machlokas. Is it that this is the one time that Esav kisses Yaakov with all of his heart? It's for Shimon bar Yochai that he kissed him with all his heart, even though normally Esav's son is Yaakov. And the other pshat is no, he really wanted to bite him. So right there, the Ibn Ezra says hadrash al nekudos veishakehu, and the drash on the dots of and he kissed him tovhu laatike mishadayim. This is good for those who are just being weaned. Right, says the Ibn Ezra, not like this drasha that Rashi quotes from a member of Chazal. He says al pi pshat, Esav did not intend to do any harm to Yaakov. Veheid, and the testimony the is right here. Vayivku kasher asa Yosef imechov. He says compare this to Yosef crying when he saw his brothers again, where Yosef clearly didn't intend any harm. So here's Ibn Ezra taking a famous drasha from Chazal, and he's basically saying this is great for kids. It happens to be there's machlokas in Chazal, but still he's saying one of these drashas. You know, it's almost like when you teach kids don't speak to strangers. So we tell kids not to speak to strangers, even though we greet strangers all the time. You know, there's a certain way you talk to kids. So if kids have to learn that Esav was about to bite Yaakov, so maybe that's the way kids should learn in the meantime. That's right. Almost what it sounds like.
But that's just a sample of what Ibn Ezra says throughout his prayers, especially on Sefer Bereishis and on much of Sefer Shemos and other places, Chumash. But especially if you have Sefer Bereishis, where there are certain things that Chazal tell us, and he just quotes them and rejects them, like a pshat in like in Nimrod. So he says,
right?
He says Nimrod was probably the Sonic.
Gibor tzayed b'fnei Hashem.
What?
Yeah, Gibor tzayed b'fnei Hashem.
He wasn't says that he was Gibor l'fnei Hashem. So he's like, yeah, he's l'fnei Hashem. He was before Hashem. He was before God. Rabban takes him to task for that, as Ramban often does. The shot of Eliezer, right? Eliezer being the 318 men mentioned, it's Eliezer, and he says, okay, like it's cute, it's nice renas, but it's not what's going on here in this pesukim. And throughout his parish on Sefer Bereishis, he rejects the opinions of Chazal often. And he said, and he sometimes like said, if there's like some sort of like specific masorah for this, then fine. But if not, then like that's totally not what's going on in these pesukim.
And yeah, so, and here in our context with tefillin, so Ibn Ezra seems to, it looks like an about face, but obviously there's something deeper here within Ibn Ezra's methodology.
Yesh cholkan al avaseinu hakadoshim, when he's constantly cholik al avaseinu hakadoshim,
right.
Constantly. In his commentary, really prior to this parsha is where things start to change for Ibn Ezra a little bit, but I don't think anything really changes. It's just
right.
An understanding of what's going on here. And then of course,
he was inspired by all the Makos.
What?
He was inspired by all the Makos.
Right. And we have to figure out also what's going on with Rashbam, and Rashbam has comments like that here, but also in other places where he seemingly gives shot against what Chazal say. Certain controversial Rashbam that has been censored in the Sefer Bereishis about saying that the day begins with the day, not the night, and things like that, which we know, of course, is counter to halacha, where we say night goes before day. But just to properly understand this, to understand Rashbam and Ibn Ezra, you need to really have a bigger picture of that. And
right.
I was years ago, I was Zohar that. Happens to be I was learning the parish of the Rashbam and the parish of the Ibn Ezra in the same year. So I actually got to learn their entire commentary side by side and was able to see the interplay. And when you have a full picture, or at least as full as the parish can offer, of at least the parish itself, maybe not the personalities behind it, but at least the parish, you can understand what the goals of the Mefarshim were in their parish.
And that can be a little bit challenging because you're looking at two Pashtonim and your inclination might be like, okay, he's going to offer Pshat, he's going to offer Pshat. And they might they might actually have different quote-unquote agendas in there. And I don't mean this in a biased way, but I just mean this in a methodology sort of way. But anyway, so like you just said now, in terms of seeing the Ibn Ezra for his bigger picture. So I think that's something that we really owe the Rashbam right now, because I think that we cannot see this Rashbam without seeing the Rashbam's famous comments in Parshas Vayeshev. So in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Beis, we have really important comments from the Rashbam, which once again, if you just see the Rashbam about tefillin or Rashbam throughout his commentary, you might have a completely wrong idea about who Rashbam was and what he thought of the Masorah. And so these comments from the Rashbam find us in the beginning of the story of Mechiras Yosef, which we read, only a few weeks ago, and in Pasuk Beis. So, I don't know if we could see how much of it we can read inside, but he starts off by saying, "Yaskilu bivino Rabbeinu ki ein mekuyotze midei pshuto." On the one hand, he quotes, this is quoting Chazal, a rule in Chazal that we find that the Mikra is never yotze midei pshuto, that whatever the Mikra says, so to at least some degree, that's what it means. You can never completely divorce the meaning from the words themselves, from the Pashup Shab meaning. Fine. So I consider this to be one of Rashbam's disclaimers. Then his other disclaimer is Af ki ikra shel Torah ba'al lamdenu lehodienu b'remizas hapshat v'ha'agados v'ha'alachos v'adinin al yedei arichos halashon. So just to stop there, he says the ikra shel Torah. What is the main thing? He says it's the remizam, the drushos, all the things that we derive from Chazal. And he continues. I'm just skipping a little bit. He says, Misasku, he says, many people and great people like Rabbi Elazar, Ben Oshel, Rabbi Yosef Glili, and Rabbi Shmuel, they had their different midos of darshaning the Torah. He says, Mitoch chasidusam misasku l'ntasachar ha'drashos shehein. He says, out of their piety, they were specifically osek in pulling out the drash, which is the ikker. This is whatever the Masorah says, based on these drashos, is the ikker. And he says, because of this, they didn't spend so much time preoccupying themselves with Pashup Shat. And it's in this Rashbam comment where towards the end, he says this very famously, that even his own grandfather, Rashi, who spent so much time teaching the drushes of Chazal, he said Rashi admitted to him, in a private conversation that they had, at least, that if he had more time, he would have written another full commentary completely devoted to just Pashup Pshat, even more so than the commentary that he already written, which is mostly every other line is quoting Chazal, or a midrash of some sort. So we see the two things in the Rashbam. And this is the Rashbam, I think, laying out for you. And he does it pretty late in the game in Parshas Vayeshev. It's still in Bereishis, but he lays out for you right there two important rules. The Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto on the one hand, but the Ikra Shel Torah. The Ikra Shel Torah is apparently the drashas of Chazal, what the Masorah says, even that which is not possible, not Pashup Shat.
And this is interesting because now he's so as you said, he's showing what he understands Pshat to be. And that there is a difference between Pshat and Drash, but there's something that's the ikker. There's something that the main thing that I guess Pashat wants us to get out of it, which is the halakha. And but what is Pshat? Pshat is that the Torah, for whatever reason, was written with a simple understanding. There's a story. And there's are instructions, and there are monologues and dialogues, and there is supposed to be a simple understanding that you read as if you're reading a regular book, and there is value to that. The way it's written is valuable. Like for example, if a pasuk says "ayin," even if the truth of what Hashem wants for us is to understand that it's actually the value of an eye for an eye. You don't actually knock out something of one person's eye. But the fact that the Torah wrote it that way begs begs an explanation, because you have to be authentic to what the text, the simple understanding of the text in front of us. Of course, at the end of the day, you're going to follow the halacha of the drashos. But pshat and drash are these two different levels. There's the
right, and we know of pardes. We know that there's. You know, we know that the pardes is an entire prism of, you know, they're different, you know, just like, you know, a prism of how to look at the Torah. So they're different dimensions. So pardes, we know, is pshat, drash, remez, and sod. So if you want some remez, you might find that in the Bala Turim. If you want sod, so you'll find that maybe in different Sifrei Chasidus and the Zohar and
Or Chaim. And the end of many Ramban's comments.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the Ramban has plenty of it. Those are the ones that the art scroll won't. Mostly won't translate for you in art scroll. Ramban was my extra Rishon that I did last year. So yeah. So but we're seeing that. So like, of course. So Avada, the Rashbam, wore a nice kosher pair of tefillin. And the Rashbam is just telling you, you know, Pasha Pshat, when you read the Chumash, maybe if you're a lay person, or even if you're not a lay person, but you want to just know the basic meaning is there are certain ideas that you're supposed to have on your heart all the time.
Right. Did Rashbam wear Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam? What do you think?
Well, it's a good point. I think this really needs a separate conversation about what the Rashi tefillin versus Rabbeinu Tam tefillin were, because I don't think they're exactly how we understand it.
It happens to be that they're not. But,
it's like did he wear like his were Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam brothers or cousins?
Yeah, they're
brothers. So did he wear his brother's tefillin or his father's tefillin? I don't think it's the conversation here. Yeah. Rav Daniel, are you there?
Our grandfather bought us our tefillin. Can you imagine if it was like, actually no, but presumably they followed Meir, their father, who married Rashi's daughter, so they had
right.
I mean, that's what I imagine. But anyway, that's not for now. We're not talking about Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Over here, we're talking about Rashbam and Ibn Ezra. So I want to get to Ibn Ezra, because
is the Ibn Ezra contending that there are those Rashbams out there who think that this is a metaphor? And he's not like the Ibn Ezra's not. I'll tell you what Ibn Ezra's not contending. He's not contending, hey Rashbam, where's your tefillin? That's not what Ibn Ezra's saying clearly, because we're assuming the Rashbam wore tefillin. Right. with a belief suffix that the Rashbam wore tefillin.
Yes, 100%. He wore tefillin. Probably the Mahajim and Mahajim, which you don't even have a tefillin. But Ibn Ezra, in general, so this is approach. I said what I said on that he's, you know, his parish on Sefer Bereishis. However, when it gets to halachic discussions, and I forgot exactly where he says this explicitly, but basically he defers to the pshat of Chazal.
Interesting.
He sometimes
makes sense.
Said, like, which is an example is over here, where he says the simple understanding of this pasuk is as Chazal explained it, and sometimes he'll even say, left to my own devices, I would have thought that this is pshat, that X is pshat. But since Chazal say Y, I will defer to them, and then Y must be the simple understanding over here. And he said this regarding halachic portions. So he'll say this in Parshas Bo. He says this a lot throughout Vayikra and really the rest of the definitely in Vayikra and throughout really the rest of the Torah. He will often defer to Chazal's understanding, because he says that pshat must be what they're saying. Now, we should also note that one of the things that Ibn Ezra was fighting against, interestingly, was the Karayim, the Karaites. Okay. And he quotes them often in his commentary and often in a very enjoyable way, because he has very clever insults to making fun of the Karayim themselves, the Karaites and their names. And he's defending the Mesorah, or at least halachic Mesorah. However, when it comes to interpretation of Pesukim and Drash, you know, things that are explained derech Drush, he rejects them as Pshat. Meaning, could be he sees some value could be he thinks that some of the ethical lessons are important. It could be he thinks some of the ideas are, you know, cute and Ramaz and things like that. But he doesn't seem to. How he understands Pshat is that Pshat is the Iker. But of course, he has a different definition of Pshat than Rashbam has. That's
right.
Rashbam says the drash is the Iker, but the Pshat is also valuable, and they're
kind of might be different, right? Daniel?
There are two different lines of thought that were intended by Hashem for us to learn. There's what's the drash, and then there's the like the pshat, and then there's the drash. And the drash is the main thing he wants to pay attention to and follow. However, there's value to the pshat as well. And Rashbam is trying to make pshat great again because he thought people forgot about pshat. People didn't understand pshat because they were so involved in the Iker, which is drash. So he says, you know what, I gotta do it, because if I don't do it now, who knows if anyone will ever have the pshat again. So let me take care of that and write a saber about it, but I don't think it's the Iker, but I do think it's valuable. Ezra seems to more of say that the Iker is pshat. Drash is nice. It's
other way around? No?
What?
Wait, then we're still on the Rashbam, right?
No, I switched to Ibn Ezra.
Oh, Ibn Ezra. Okay, fine.
Yeah, Ibn Ezra says, no, the pshat is absolutely the Iker, and the drash, it could be nice, could be fun, it could be, it's not even...
You might have a moral, you might learn something from it.
...intended by Hashem. But really, the main thing is pshat. However, he disagrees with Rashbam on what is pshat and what is not.
Right.
Now, Rashbam says, what is pshat? Whatever me reading the text on my own, with my knowledge of the world around me and my knowledge of the textual skills, with no reference to Chazal at all, if I can read the words, if I know grammar of Lashon HaKodesh, and maybe I know a little bit of basic science and culture, I can interpret the Pesukim, and that is Pshat. Ibn Ezra says that is not Pshat.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of Pshat. But sometimes Pshat will be what Chazal say, the Mesoris, that's sometimes part of Pshat, in particular in the realm of Halacha.
And it seems that when it comes to Halacha, unlike the Rashbam, according to Ibn Ezra, it's very problematic if Pshat does not line up with what the Chazal say the Halacha is.
Yes.
And according to the Rashbam, no, like that those things can coexist. But I guess, we have, in our 613 mitzvahs, we have a mitzvah called Tefillin. And the Ibn Ezra says you have to understand that mitzvah kipshuto in terms of the Mesorah. So,
right.
Wow. So there's a lot here. I think we learned a lot of interesting things, and just besides for what tefillin are, but just in terms of Rashbam and Ibn Ezra. First of all, how firm they both were. Everyone knows they're Pashtunim. Like everyone knows that, but just their loyalty and their devotion to Chazal. It speaks volumes, depending on which part of their commentary you're looking at. But we see that there's a much larger picture within the two of them, and two very different approaches. They're in the same craft, they're in the same occupation, and yet we see like very different approaches to the same kind of two methodologies, perhaps the same kind of approach. It's very, very fascinating. Anyway, I want to thank you for this very enlightening conversation and for joining us once again.
Of course, it's enlightening. Both of their fathers are named Rav Meir, so.
And but definitely also just bringing to light the way these two Rishonim, these holy Rishonim, functioned. I thought it was a great conversation, and definitely looking forward to having you in the future for more. Sessions on Parsha, Real Talk Torah, Parsha Panel, whatever it may be, or maybe something else on the horizon. But I think that is it for now. Ooh, you got to tune into the database and find out what exactly we're talking about. Or you could.
I'm gonna check right away. I can't wait to see what you have lined up for.
Yeah, Mirat Hashem. Okay. Anyway, that's all the time we have left for this Real Talk Torah. So in the meantime, keep it real, keep talking, and most importantly, the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra will both tell you to keep the Torah. Thanks for joining us here at the database.